It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm not choosing between dogs and cats, bro. I love them both.
Dogs.
What do you... Sure, you can be a dog person if you want. I wanted a dog. But I was living in an apartment by myself in Arizona, and I was gone a lot. I was traveling a lot. I was out with friends a lot. Yeah. A dog would have been miserable in my home. Whereas cats, I went in and I said, hey, I need an adult cat that can be at home by itself. And they were like, that's all of the cats. Cats are fine. Just put food in their bowl before you leave. I bet. Love that. And now I have two of the homies. Love them to death. They greet me at the door when I walk in. Sleep on the bed at night. Sit on the lap. It's great. Love my cats.
We still have to separate two of the three dogs at all times, or the corgi has to be on a leash.
Sounds great. Sounds like a blast.
If not, she attacks everybody, and yeah.
All right.
Not fun.
That's how the show started, because the NBA is back. Look, hey, the NBA is back officially. You can say basketball's back now.
Basketball's back.
Basketball's back. We have actual basketball tonight that counts.
Okay.
Basketball can't be back if the reaction to a team going 0-5 during that stretch of basketball is, doesn't matter. Then basketball isn't back. I'm sorry. But hey, the Knicks and Celtics play tonight, 4 o'clock. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. After that, the Timberwolves visit the Lakers for whatever reason. The Timberwolves are at the Lakers, who had a much worse season than they did last year. Oh, okay. And those games will count. We're going to react to those games, actually. Basketball's back, baby. We're here.
That's amazing. Why are the Timberwolves starting on the road? Like, because it's not just L.A. Then they have to go to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Play the Kings on Thursday. It'll be game two.
Yeah. If this was Golden State, right? Like, Golden State has had a bunch of success recently. And let's say they made the playoffs last year and went to the conference finals and lost in the conference finals and started on the road. No big deal. That's whatever. But Minnesota, the vibes were incredible last year.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best season in their franchise history, or in the last 25-plus years.
Yeah.
Would it have been 96, 97?
No, they were okay in the 2000s one or two years.
Were they?
Yeah.
When they went to the conference finals?
With Garnett.
I thought that was earlier on than that. Anyways, doesn't matter. It had been a long time, like 20 years, I guess. Yeah, okay, 20. That would have been like 03, 04-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But it had been a long time since they had that kind of success. And they have to open on the road in L.A.?
Yeah.
And then they got to go to Sacramento? Like, they're going to play a week's worth of games before they get to finally go home. That sucks.
I think it sucks, and I also, like, why are you going to the Lakers? I mean, I get it. The Lakers are the Lakers because where they came from. I don't get it. Like, I understand why the Lakers are the primetime game tonight, why everybody's excited to see the Lakers. I don't really buy into the whole father-son thing that could or could not happen tonight. But I'm left wondering, like, why do you do this to Minnesota?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, they were too good last year.
Sucks for Minnie, man. Yeah. So they got to go. They got to open in L.A. Which of the two games is more interesting to you tonight?
Huh. I mean, from a pure basketball standpoint, I'm excited to see the Knicks play.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
From the Kings standpoint, right? It's Lakers Timberwolves. Like, it doesn't, those are the teams that are going to matter. But for, like you said, from a basketball standpoint, A, how does Boston come out on ring night?
Yep.
B, what do the Knicks look like? Mikal Bridges there now. Karl Anthony Towns there now. Dante DiVincenzo gone. They haven't had a ton of time to integrate Karl Anthony Towns into what they're doing. So I'm really, really interested to see what that looks like on night one. And how effective is Mikal Bridges? Is OG Anunoby healthy and back all the way? How does that affect what Jalen Brunson is doing offensively?
And I have to be honest, I think that Minnesota is going to have a much more difficult time adjusting to life without Karl Anthony Towns and with Julius Randle there.
I totally agree.
Than the Knicks will with having Karl Anthony Towns here. I mean, of course, the Knicks had to play without Julius Randle for, you know, a good portion of last season. So the group of players that are there have sort of developed their identity without him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karl Anthony Towns just gives you like a top tier second scorer.
Yes.
And he doesn't do it in the same way. It's not always just dribble, 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 which is all Randle did.
Yeah, he can shoot it.
Yeah, so I really think it's going to be interesting to see how Randle and Gobert fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of question marks with that Minnesota team. They've lost some bodies, and, like, what are they going to look like? So, I don't know. I mean, I like Dante DiVincenzo there. I know a lot of people have him as a potential sixth man of the year candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does fit really well there. But overall, do they have – are they just odd because they're missing – what was their, you know, second leading scorer, but really the face of their franchise for so long.
Yeah, we're going to get into some NBA predictions for this season, and we want to hear yours at the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you'd like to participate in the program. Remember, we don't have a call screener, so the phone may just ring for a while until we can get to it. So be patient if you want to tap in here on the opening night of the NBA season. I'm with you, man. I think the Timberwolves might, I don't want to say faceplant, but they might really stumble out of the gates here. Because Julius Randle, I don't think if you're going to maximize what he does, it's not, hey, go hang out in the corner. Like, he's not a shooter, but he can create.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good scorer on the rim. Legitimately, he's a good scorer. But is he a three-level scorer? I don't think so. And how does that fit with Anthony Edwards? He's got to have the ball in his hands. And he got Mike Conley out there running around, kind of orchestrating everything. How does Dante DiVincenzo fit into that? There's a lot to figure out. And I don't know that the maximized version of the Knicks is awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see exactly where, okay, Jalen Brunson's going to do this. Bridge is going to do this. Anunoby's going to do this. Josh Hart's going to do his thing. Here's where Karl Anthony Towns fits. And wow, that might be a really, really freaking good team.
They're all going to have to play 42 minutes, but yeah.
It's how it's going to go.
Yep.
And then you've got the maximized version of the Timberwolves. I don't see how it fits. It's a lot of guys that can put the ball in the hoop for sure. I'm not trying to say Julius Randle is a bad player.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to grow what Anthony Edwards is doing, probably going to have the ball in his hands more.
Mm-hmm.
And is Julius Randle going to be an off-the-ball player who impacts the game the way Karl Anthony Towns did? Maybe, but he's not the shooter Karl Anthony Towns is. He had 1 year where he shot the heck out of it, but that's now been the anomaly in his career.
Yeah, and he hasn't stopped shooting, and that's part of the problem.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not going to hit, you can't take 8.33s a game and shoot 34.3%.
Nope.
That's crazy talk. That's one of the most inefficient scores I've ever seen. And even last year, and before he got hurt, he shot 31%. 3 years ago, 30.8. So yeah, he had one season where he shot 41.1%, but the rest of his career, there's a lot of sub 30% in here.
Mm-hmm.
And
his
Yeah, adding to that, he's one of the heaviest usage players for a non-point guard in the league. I mean, his usage is almost, it's between 29 and 30 over the last 4 years. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So how is he going to fit with other guys that, you know, again, with Anthony Edwards? I don't want Anthony Edwards taking a step back to anybody.
No. Yeah. And that's where I know there were financial aspects of this where they were trying to get under the second and apron and all that jazz. And this is not to say Julius Randle's a bad player. Julius Randle in 22, 23 and 77 games averaged 25, 10 and 4. He was 24, 9 and 5 last year.
Yeah.
Like he's an impactful player for sure, but how impactful can he be with this Minnesota team specifically out the gate? Like I have questions about how DeMar DeRozan is going to fit with the Kings out the gate. Like that's something they've got to work out. We've talked about that. I think that problem is minuscule compared to what the Timberwolves and Julius Randle are going to have to do to gel throughout the course of this season.
Yeah, I totally agree because we're talking about your number two option, right?
Yes.
So number two scoring option on the Kings is probably DeMar DeRozan.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to go, it's Fox,
DeRozan,
Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk. That's probably your order, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a big difference between a second option and a second scoring option.
Mm-hmm. Like
the second option on the Kings, and maybe even the first option on the Kings, is DeMontis Sabonis. The ball funnels through him the whole time.
Right.
Well, Randle is the same type of guy. He wants the ball to funnel through him all the time. And his usage is a good 5 points higher, 5 percentage points higher than Sabonis. Sabonis gets a ball and gets rid of it. Right? So that's the beauty to having a guy like Sabonis. Not only does he average, you know, 8.2 assists per game, but his usage is low while doing that, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's where I just really wonder, like, how is Randle going to fit in? And I don't know. It's going to be intriguing to watch him try to piece it together.
Julius Randle, to your point, last year in 46 games, had a higher usage rate some of these are like by decimal points, but he ranked ahead of Devin Booker, Paolo Banchero, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving. Those are all guys he had a higher usage rate than.
Okay, so what's his?
And then there's Anthony Edwards, who is fifth at 32.3.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. 32.3. And Randle's at 29.9.
29.9. So, and you know what DeMontis Sabonis' usage was last year? 22.2. He's one of the most crazy efficient passers that the league's ever seen. And not only that, his assist rate, 33.9.
Yeah,
high-end point guard.
That's crazy.
With no usage.
That's crazy.
And so having two heavy usage players is very difficult. And that's why even DeRozan coming in, he fits a little bit because of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a heavier usage player. Specifically, way heavier than a guy like Harrison Barnes that he's replacing. But his usage last year is at 25.5. He's going to have to figure out how to work with these guys. But that's a comparable usage to like what Buddy Hield had when he played alongside De'Aaron Fox. It's a little bit higher, but not much. Anyway, it should be interesting to see how all of these things piece together. Bless
you. Sorry about that. Thank you. Here we go. I was trying to see from just now that we're talking about the Kings and usage rates here. Where's our? Oh, I did this wrong. Never mind. It's fine. I'm punting that point. So we'll dive into the meaning of this later. I just think the Wolves are going to get off to a slow start.
Well, I think so too, and I think it's for the Kings. It's a good thing they play them three times early in the season.
Yeah.
So, at least on paper.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they do what the Kings did a couple of years ago and they come out firing. And
yeah,
you're
sure.
Just like, hey, look at that. Look how good they are.
And that to me would be more on the table. Anything's on the table, right? We're just two guys with microphones. But that to me would be more on the table if they had made this trade like early in the summer.
Yes.
But that they made this trade in September. He's had not a lot of time to like really work and practice and integrate into what they're doing.
They made the move right before the opening of training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wild.
Hopefully for them it works out and hopefully it integrates quickly, but it wouldn't shock me at all And this gets to another thing about these games tonight. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Lakers kind of house the Timberwolves tonight. Because that's a Laker team that's been together.
Yeah.
You're going to have game one of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and you're going to have the Bronny James element. Apparently, he's going to play tonight. The Griffies are in the building, you said?
Yeah, I read that Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. have decided to make the trek. Man. Because, you know, they're the first father-son tandem to play together, and they want to be there to support the,
yeah,
the first
good for them.
NBA father-son tandem.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That is going to be fascinating to watch, dude. I'm of two minds here.
Yep.
One, I think it's really cool. Unbelievable cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome. But I don't think the Lakers are a team that can burn a lot of minutes. I don't think they can, and certainly they can't burn a lot of games. This is not the Celtics, where if they win 50 games, they're still the title favorite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a gimmick for game one of, hey, opening night in L.A., you're at Staples Center, they're going to bring the Griffies in, everybody's going to be watching, oh, here comes Bronny James to the scorer's table, standing O, daps up his dad, but they're going to be serious. They're just going to dap. They're not going to do a whole handshake and a hug. It's going to be like game time. LeBron's going to be like, you're there. We're doing this. Here's what we're doing. It's going to be so serious. Like, they're going to pretend like it's not a thing, but everyone else is going to make it a thing. And then is he going to play 2 minutes? And it's like, all right, go back over there.
Probably.
Because preseason was ugly for Bronny.
Yeah. So was summer league.
Yeah, so are they going trial by fire? We're going to let this guy play a bunch of minutes and try and figure it out, and we're going to lose games because of it?
No, I don't think. From the way that I look at their team, like, he's destined for a lot of G League minutes, and if not G League, he's just going to sit on the bench. Then again, there's a possibility that the Lakers get blown out quite a few times just because they didn't make improvements at all, and actually mm-hmm. they lost players.
Yeah.
They're getting some players back healthy,
right.
But overall, they're not a very good team. Like, they weren't very good last year. They of course, finished, what, a game above the Kings?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because they were good. They stayed healthy mm-hmm. as far as their stars, for the most part. I mm-hmm. mean, Anthony Davis played a ridiculous amount of games.
Career high, I think.
Yeah, he's never played that many games, I think, since his, like, second season. But the rest of that group, they just didn't go out and make improvements. They lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So, I don't know. Christian Wood still on the IR.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Torian Prince. Sorry.
The Nuggets lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That is a player who moved this offseason.
No, they lost Torian Prince. My bad.
Yeah, 76 games, a career high for Anthony Davis last year at age 30.
Yeah.
So
that's not going to happen again.
If you're telling me you're going to get 40-year-old LeBron James, you're going to get 70-plus games of him, and he's still going to be a 24-7-7 guy, and you tell me you get 75-plus games of Anthony Davis, okay, fine, I'll buy it. Those are still two really good players. But until then, I got to see it first, man.
No, I totally agree.
Because you got Anthony Davis here, 56, 40, 36, 62, 56. Like, those are his previous five seasons of games played.
Yeah.
And I think if that's the kind of production or availability you're getting from him, I just don't think the Lakers have the horses to make up for it.
No, totally.
Jackson Hayes is not going to be a close enough facsimile of Anthony Davis.
No.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think your opinion is correct.
Thanks, man. I like when that happens. Are you a season starts at Christmas guy?
No.
Season starts now?
Yeah, season starts now.
Yeah. I struggle with this.
If I've got to be there, the season started.
I struggle with this because it feels the first couple months of the NBA season do feel like the first couple weeks of the NFL season, where you go, week one is fake. We can't take anything away from any of these teams until after like week three, because teams don't do the preseason. First few weeks are now the preseason. Here you go. But also, when a team starts 0-3, they're 0-3. I don't care what you think they're going to be. They're like, hey, those games count. If they miss the playoffs by a game, you're going to look back at those first three games. So the games count for sure. But to your point, like with Minnesota, I'm not going to start judging what Minnesota is going to be this year until Christmas. That's a good cutoff.
Okay.
I don't know why that's a good cutoff, but it just kind of end of December, like, okay, hey, Christmas Day games, the unofficial opening of the NBA season. Because from this point, it's like, all right, now you're kicking it into gear. Now the playoff push starts. Now you've gotten a couple months to play together. You've gotten a couple months of games and practices and film to try and figure out who you are and the way to maximize what you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, it's like, yeah, I'm not, if the Timberwolves lose by 20 tonight, I'm not going to go, wow, they're not making the playoffs. This isn't going to work. The Julius Randle thing's a disaster. No, not going to go there. Give me till Christmas. And yeah, once Christmas starts, that's when all.
I agree that's a moment where you kind of start to realize who the good teams are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as somebody who covered so many bad seasons, I can't say we get to Christmas and then, you know, like the All-Star weekend is the end mm-hmm. of the season, because you know from there you're cooked and they're mm-hmm. going to bench starters and play the young guys and all that stuff down the stretch. So what am I giving in those seasons? Bad teams? Would you get like 20 games that might be the real season? And
yeah.
I don't know. I prefer to look at the entire season and judge a team, because look, we have seen teams like take off in the second half. We have seen teams yeah. that just continuously get better and better and better as the season goes on. So I like to see who they are today and what they look like. And then I'm kind of here for the evolution of every team.
Yeah.
And to see how they, you know, they change and they grow. And like, I want to see what the Spurs look like at the end of the season. I want to see the Rockets look like
mm-hmm.
at the end of this mm-hmm. season. What they look like today, it could be great, but it could also be like a jumbled up mess.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, with all that talent, you know, I think they could have something. And so I kind of like to look at the entire season. I don't know.
That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Here every day from 10 a.m. until noon. Want to remind you that tonight, 4 o'clock, coverage begins. Knicks-Celtics, the NBA season opener, will be broadcast right here on ESPN 1320. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line is 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We're taking NBA season predictions today. You got to get them in today. If you don't get them in today, they don't count.
Okay.
That's right. Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's up?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Doing great.
What's going on?
What's popping over there, Sacramento? Sacramento is the capital.
Big time.
Top secret, right? Well, first of all, I don't think Bronny's going to have a better career than his father, like Ken Griffey Jr. did. I mean, he
safe
blew
bet.
Right by Mr. Daddy-O. They were both great players. I think Ken Griffey Sr. is a borderline Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing the whole thing. That's just me. Okay. I think the Knicks got the better. I think Minnesota got the better of that trade. And I think our small town, Sacramento, had too many small plays. But I think we got to score a lot. You don't have to worry about the LA teams. My Clippers are not going to do well, because I think Kawhi Leonard is the next DeMarcus Cousins, so Mike Trout. But he's a Hall of Famer, though.
Hmm. Perfect. Hmm. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you, man. Mitch was ready today.
He was. His sound quality was good.
Yeah.
Good work, Mitch.
Yeah, touched on a little bit of everything we've talked about. Kawhi as Mike Trout is an interesting comp, except Kawhi has accomplished so much more in his career than Mike Trout has.
Yeah, yeah. Just the statistics of Mike Trout are incredible.
I think it's post-Raptors Kawhi is very Mike Troutish. The problem is Raptors and pre-Raptors Kawhi was incredible.
Uh-huh.
He has three NBA titles? Two? Two?
Two.
Two NBA titles.
Yeah, one with the Spurs, one with
two
the Raptors.
Two finals MVPs, that's right. Yeah, Ken Griffey Sr., good player.
Ken Griffey Jr. Years, bro. Yeah, Ken Griffey Sr. was a good player. He just kept playing, too. I mean, just solid, you know, mm-hmm. outfielder.
Hit .296 for his career.
Yeah, back in the good old days where people actually had batting averages, weren't embarrassing.
Yeah. In 152 career home runs. Ken Griffey Jr. had 152 career home runs by year...
Five?
No, because he was 16, 22, 22, 27, 45.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Then 40, 17, 49, 56 in back-to-back years, 48. He led the league 3 years in a row.
And he was so much
fun
to watch.
What a ridiculous player.
He was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet swing.
Yeah.
And a great fielder.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Mitch, though. I don't think we're going to see Bronny James pull the Ken Griffey Jr. and be better than Senior.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, unfortunate.
Actually, you know what? You might have been right. Year five, my math might have been off here. Yeah, after year five, Ken Griffey Jr. No, I'm sorry, year six, Ken Griffey Jr. had 172 homers.
Oof.
20 more than Pops.
All right.
In 19 years. That's wild. The NBA season, we know, has officially begun because Joel Embiid is out. Joel Embiid and Paul George out for the 76ers season opener. But it's all going according to plan. This is what the Sixers, this is all part of the plan, baby.
They're playing three-dimensional chess.
You guys have no idea. They're waiting until Christmas. The Sixers are like, hey, that's when the season starts for these guys.
We have to save them for the playoffs.
This isn't, again, we're going to get to our East and West playoff predictions. This is the peril of this for the Sixers. A, leaning on Joel Embiid. I get why you have to, and I get why you have to pay. Like, he's just, because if he's healthy, you're going to have an MVP candidate.
Uh-huh.
It's a tough bind, because you also can't just let him walk, but you got to, like, keep him around. But if he's going to be your best guy, this is what you're going to kind of run into. Like, this is not part of the plan for the Sixers, I promise. They did not go into this summer thinking they weren't going to have Joel Embiid for their season opener.
And the first week of the season, they said he won't play.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, he's your centerpiece. It really makes you wonder, like, team design. Why didn't they chase? They had money, and they went on. They got Paul George, which is a perfectly outstanding player, right? But why didn't they look for someone more Tyrese Maxey's age? So to try to blend this thing a little bit better? I don't know.
It's a weird construct.
The entire team is a weird construct. And swapping out, like, 10 players is unheard of in the NBA.
Yeah, it's like an entirely new roster.
Yeah. I mean, just like
Kelly Oubre's back, Maxey's back, Embiid is back.
They didn't even keep Paul Reed.
What?
He was the only other
Paul
guy.
Paul Reed's out of there?
Paul Reed's gone.
Where did Paul Reed go?
I don't know.
We need to APB on Paul Reed.
Paul Reed is on the list of free agents, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's with the Pistons. I like that pickup for the Pistons.
Everybody's
nice,
on the Pistons.
That's a nice pickup. Hey, they swapped out James Wiseman for Paul Reed. That's a W. That's a big-time W for the Stones.
Anytime you wonder where someone went this season, you're like, man, where did he go? He went to the Pistons. That's like, I don't know how they did it. They added like 17 players to a 17-man roster.
I'm gonna find somebody who can place this bet for me.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what the Pistons over-under is, but I want to take the over.
Okay.
I think I want to take the over for the Pistons.
Okay, so they brought in Lester Quinones.
Love it.
Caleb Martin, new.
Yep.
Gershon Ubisale.
Yep.
They got to come over from mm-hmm. France.
Yep.
Reggie Jackson's new.
Yep.
Adem Bona, don't know who that is, out of UCLA.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that on the radio, but go on.
There we go. Jeff Downton.
Yeah.
We'll call him Downton Abbey. KJ Martin is back there. Kyle Lowry's back. Eric Gordon is there now. See, that's what I mean. Like Andre Drummond's back.
What are you looking at?
This is the 76ers roster.
We're talking about the Pistons.
Oh, no. I meant all the new players for the 76ers.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the Pistons. I was like, these are not players on the Pistons.
No.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Jared McCain is new, the Sacramento kid who got, he hurt his head.
Okay.
He'll be out. Like, I don't think he's playing tonight, but he's the one who took the big fall last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a concussion. He had something worse. So, yeah.
Yikes.
So, thinking good thoughts for him. But, yeah, that whole entire team is different. And then the Pistons, again, like every
well,
time.
We gotta go. I'll finish up my point on
right.
the Pistons.
Sorry.
After this. We'll have Pistons. We'll have Niners injury updates. Monday Night Football recap. Lots happened on Monday Night Football last night. Tons to get into here in the next couple hours. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Short break. That's James. I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you until noon. I want to remind everybody that Socktober is here, and people need socks. We're working with The Gathering Inn, which is a terrific organization here in the Sacramento area. Good fit. They are collecting socks to distribute to the unhoused in time for the inclement weather of the fall and winter, and we are taking sock donations. You can bring them to 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. They need to be new socks, like in the package.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want your old socks. Don't want your nasty used socks. But if you want to bring some socks here and dump them in our bin, you can do that. Or I've put it out on Twitter. You can hit me up and I'll get you the mailing address. And you can send some socks here. I think I ordered some on Amazon. Like a 32-pack of socks, dump them in the bin. Do something nice today.
Very cool.
Shout out to Socktober. And also today, Knicks Celtics right here on ESPN 1320. 4 o'clock coverage begins. All right, let's put a pin in the NBA stuff briefly. We got some 49ers injury updates yesterday from head coach Kyle Shanahan. Debo Samuel dealing with pneumonia. He is now in the hospital. Brandon Ayuk has ACL and MCL injuries. He is out at least for this season. Ian Rappaport reported that there could be more damage than just the ACL and MCL. So we are still awaiting official word on the nature of his injury and just how long he will be out. George Kittle has a foot sprain. He is day-to-day. Chris Conley has an ankle sprain. He is day-to-day. Mixed in with all of that injury calamity, Kyle Shanahan dropped a Christian McCaffrey, hopefully back right after the bye week.
Okay.
And man, I for a while was pretty staunch in the take that you can't rely on Christian McCaffrey because he's dealing with bilateral Achilles tendonitis that may not be something that clears up. And you've got Debo Samuel, you got Brandon Ayuk, you got Jordan Mason, you got George Kittle, you got plenty to put together a good offense. They need CMC back. Their entire season now rides on whether he returns.
Yeah, they need him back. I mean, he's one of the most important players in the entire league, let alone the 49ers.
Yeah.
And the way that things have gone, especially with their wide receiving core just getting decimated, you know, you got to hope that maybe Juwan Jennings will be back this weekend. But
you got a hip injury.
Yeah, and we have no idea what's going to happen with Debo. Debo might need to take this week off completely and not return until after the bye week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're the walking wounded right now. If you go into a week and you don't have Juwan Jennings and your receiving core is like a bunch of guys that have barely played, that's not a good look. You need McCaffrey back like so bad because he'll take the stress off of the wide receiving core once he's back.
Yeah, and he just makes life easier for Brock Purdy. Here's the funny thing about the Niners offense. We've been talking about how bad the Niners offense is, and oh my God, they need Christian McCaffrey back and this and that. The 49ers, second in the league in yards per play, tied with the Detroit Lions. They are number two in the league in... they're now number three in the league after last night because Baltimore's offense is incredible. They're now number three in the league in the percentage of their drives that end in a score.
Okay.
Field goal or touchdown.
Yeah.
They're just not putting the ball in the end zone.
It's a lot of field goals.
It's too many field goals.
By randos.
And that's where it's like, man, they've been able to piece it together. If they get Christian McCaffrey back... And it's like, look, the doom and gloom is easy to fall into, and I get it. Like, their odds of being a notable team come playoff time are pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something to feel good about, if you're looking for like, hey, I need a ray of optimism, here you go. The 49ers are 3-4, but I just mentioned those offensive numbers. The offensive numbers are still been okay despite all the ups and downs they've had. And they're still pretty efficient. Just not punching the ball into the end zone. You figure Christian McCaffrey will help in that respect. The 49ers under Kyle Shanahan are 14-20, I believe is the record. 14-21? No, 14-20, I believe, in the month of October. That's right. 40%?
Something like that.
Is that right? 14-20? It doesn't matter. They have a winning percentage of 40% under Kyle Shanahan in October. That number is like well over 600%. Well over 600. Their winning percentage is, oh my God. Their winning percentage is well over 600 in November through January in the regular season.
Yeah, they're usually a slow starting team.
Yeah.
Under Shanahan.
Yeah, and particularly in October. So, mm-hmm. If you want to lean on that, say, yeah, hey, Christian McCaffrey's going to be coming back, and he's going to help their offense out, and they always play their best football in November, December, and into January. That's something you can fall back on, despite the tumultuous start to this year. That, man, despite all that, they need a couple of things to go right, and they're right back in the mix.
Yeah.
Would I bet on that?
It's pretty crazy. They're second right now in the league in passing yards.
Yep.
At 1781. They're fifth in the league in rushing yards at 1,049, even without McCaffrey. It's just the touchdowns. That's where they yes. really fall off. I mean, that's wild. 14th in passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns, I'm going to guess, are around the same. 13th in rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Got to get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, man. That's
gotta
it.
Be better like in the red area, Kyle.
They are 13th. No, I'm sorry. They're tied for 11th in total touchdowns. But that includes a defensive touchdown and a blocked field goal return touchdown.
Mm.
And I think we've seen on their couple of two-point attempts that they have failed on. Like, they're just not... They get down near the end zone. They're just not good.
No, they just are very bland, not very creative.
If
at
that
all.
Doesn't get better with Christian McCaffrey back, okay.
then we got a problem.
Now you got a pretty significant problem. But it sounds like Christian McCaffrey's coming back soon. It sounds like they're optimistic about that. And maybe that helps turn their season around. But if you're going to have no Christian McCaffrey, potentially no Deebo Samuel, potentially no Juwan Jennings, potentially no George Kittle against the Cowboys, don't love their chances to get to 4-4.
Yeah, that's not great.
Tough scene.
Yeah.
It's a really, really tough scene.
Anyways, I'm intrigued, too. Like, what does this mean for Jordan Mason, who has really backpacked this team in certain games? I mean, he's been so incredible for them. What does it mean when CMC comes back, and can they figure out a way for both these guys to sort of not coexist, I mean, but to thrive?
Yeah, I think that's going to be kind of one of the biggest questions, right? Is I think it's the fact that Jordan Mason has now earned the trust of the 49ers coaching staff, mm-hmm. where... Not just to be on the field, but to run effectively. I think that's a pretty big deal because they're going to have to manage this Christian McCaffrey stuff throughout the year. It's not going to be, oh, he's back and he's fully healthy. And my guess is he gets a day off of practice every week. My guess is he's probably limited when he does practice. And then when he gets on the field, you can't have him going at 21, 22 touches a game like he was at last year.
No.
That's just not going to fly. So can you limit that to 14 or 15 touches with a few of those going to Jordan Mason? That's how I think you're going to see it. And there's some fun stuff they can do with Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey on the field together. You can't take him out of the mix entirely. He's just been too good.
Yeah, I want to see McCaffrey as a slot receiver or something on certain downs. I think that you can totally do that and see if he can, you know, even as a blocker on mm-hmm. some of those downs with Mason in the game. Like, give him a shot. Like, we got to mix it up. I mean, the guy's on pace to have well over 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 667 yards rushing in the first seven games. Only six of those are starts.
Yeah.
And one of those games he left early because of his shoulder mm-hmm. injury. I mean, he easily could be, you know, second, third in the league in rushing at this point.
Yeah, man. He's a really, really effective player. But I also, this is where, like, we talked a lot about Kyle Shanahan yesterday. This is where Kyle Shanahan needs to be better, because they lean towards this positionless football, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got Jordan Mason, you've got Christian McCaffrey who can play in the slot, you've got Kyle Juszczyk who can ostensibly play tight end, where he's splitting out wide, he can line up in the backfield. There are so many fun things you can do personnel wise and formation wise with all these players. They just need to do it. It can't be, oh, Christian McCaffrey's back. Okay, here we go. Two running back sets. It's Kyle Juszczyk, it's Christian McCaffrey, and it's going to be just the same offense it's always been. Like, no, do something different, man. Because whatever they're doing right now in terms of getting the ball in the end zone isn't working. There are so many things you can do with those players between the 20s or inside the 20s that I think can be impactful. So, yeah, I don't think Jordan Mason can be out of the mix entirely. That'd be crazy.
He's currently second in the NFL in rushing yards. He's only 206 yards behind Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry
is ludicrous.
It's absolutely crazy.
Like, what an insane player. We have been talking about, I say we, football fans, fantasy players specifically, for like the last 3 years, have been like, okay, this is the year.
He's shot.
Here's the year Derrick Henry falls off. He's averaging 6.5 yards per carry this year. That is more than a yard off his career best, which was in 2020 when he averaged 5.4 yards per carry. He ran for 2,027 yards in that season. He was the offensive player of the year, and he is having a better year this year than he did that year.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I know.
Outrageous.
We've had a good time because we have him on the James and Kyle fantasy football team.
Yeah, Swift, Kirk, and the Dicker, yeah.
Yeah, Swift, Kirk,
although
and
two
the Dickers.
Two of those players aren't on our team anymore.
Yeah, they're not on our team anymore. But Henry has just been so amazing, and Jahmyr Gibbs has been spectacular. Like, we've had a good run. We've had a good run, Kyle.
Definitely. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James, I'm Kyle. Want to get back into the NBA. We'll talk more Niners as we get kind of further into the week and closer to that game coming up Sunday night against the Cowboys. But before we get to this other thing, I want to finish up what we were talking about with the Pistons, because I would like to bet the Detroit Pistons over.
Oh, what's he over?
Let me get that back up here. I had it up and I don't want to get the number wrong. So stand by. Here we go. NBA win totals. I've got the Pistons at 25.5. I would like to take the over on the Pistons.
Oh, yeah. I'm down with that.
All right. You got Cade Cunningham running the show, right? Mm-hmm. Cade Cunningham, good player. I think Jalen Duren, I think, is a good player. They bring in Malik Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., Tobias Harris, a couple adults, mm-hmm. a couple of adults in the room there for them. Ron Holland, talented player, probably not going to have to do too much out the gate. Jaden Ivey, I think, is starting to come into his own as that microwave score. I think the maximized version of Jaden Ivey is probably as a six-man.
I would agree
probably,
with you.
Probably, mm-hmm. Unless there's another level of development for him. My guy, Bobby Clintman, who I wanted the Kings to draft.
Of course.
Wound up going to Detroit. Paul Reed is there, who we talked about. I think Paul Reed is a really effective backup center for Jalen Duren. Isaiah Stewart, love beef stew, really good player in the middle there. Asar Thompson, really, really talented young player. I like him a lot. They're just, I'm in on this version of the Pistons roster to win 26 or 27 games.
This, to me, it feels a little bit like the 2017-18 Sacramento Kings.
Yes, big-time Kings roster energy.
Yeah, when they had, you know, they had Fox that was young.
Is that Aaron Aflalo?
No, it's the year they brought in George Hill, Vince Carter,
yep.
and Zach Randolph to support the, like, 9 first and second year players that they had. Buddy Hield's second year,
mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox's first year, along with Harry Giles, Justin Jackson, and
yeah.
Frank Mason, and then brought in Bogdanovich that year.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, like, this weird collection of young players. They had Willie Cauley-Stein, which was in, I think, going into his third full season, but then all the rookies from the year before, mm-hmm. the Papa Giannis's of the world and all that. So anyway, it just reminds me of that, where you have talent, but can the young talent put it together with the veterans around them? And this might be, I mean, 25 and a half, it actually is pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
This might, but they might win 28, something like that. They might be able to go a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't think they're going to push for a play-in spot. I don't think it's anything crazy like that. I just don't think they're going to be a disaster. And I think they're in a spot to let their young guys develop a little bit.
Yeah, and they've been a disaster the last couple of years. So it's good to maybe JB Bickerstaff's
a good coach for them.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm here for it, man. Simone Fontecchio's there. I mean, come on.
I know.
We're hammering the over on the Pistons this year.
Fontecchio.
Here, let's actually, this is a fun game to play. Let's do this real quick. Celtics over or under 58.5.
Oh, man, that's tough.
It's really tough.
I'm going to say over.
I'm also going over on this.
Okay.
Because I think had the Celtics won and everybody been like, wow, Jason Tatum, top three in the NBA, Jaylen Brown, top 10, they go to the Olympics. They're both on the Olympic roster. They're both playing a ton. They win a gold medal. It's like, man, what a summer for these guys. I would take the under. But the Celtics were the best team in the league all year last year.
Wasn't even close.
Was not close.
They weren't pushed.
Going into the year, we went, hey, that's the best team in the league. And outside of got to see it in the playoffs, there was no real analysis that said that there was going to be a real fight for them, particularly in the East. And could anybody but Denver in the West push them, right?
Yes. It was so bad.
They were as dominant as you can be in the modern NBA. And the discourse was, yeah, but like it was easy. Jason Tatum goes to the Olympics, doesn't play in the semifinal. He barely plays in the final. Jaylen Brown's getting snubbed from the team. He's got a bunch of stuff to say about it. Jason Tatum did all this stuff that we saw it at the beginning of Starting Five on Netflix. All this stuff that he needs to win a ring to be like Larry Bird and all these Celtics greats. He needs the ring to get there. That's his goal. And then he got it and everyone's like, meh, but did he really? I think there's going to be a double Bird season coming from the Celtics where they win like 65, 70 games. I think it's going to be insane.
They won 64 last year. Yes. I think that they could push for 70.
Yes.
But maybe
and
they
I think they want to. I think they want to prove like, hey, this is, last year was not, it was easy. Like, we're an all-time team.
I mean, you understand what they did to the Eastern Conference. They finished 14 games ahead of the second place team in the East.
14 games.
14 games ahead of the Knicks. There was only one 50-win team in the East outside of the Celtics last year. The Knicks won 50. The Knicks would have been the 3, 4, 5, 6. They would have been tied for the 6th seed, the 5 seed. They would have been a 5-6 tie in the West.
Yeah,
I'm just absolutely ridiculous.
What, they would have been 7 games ahead of the Thunder?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, like, yeah, 7 games. They finished 7 games ahead of the Thunder and Nuggets. 8 games ahead of the Timberwolves. They were so dominant, and yeah, so I would take the over.
Me too, man. Yeah, they could, to your point, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do coast a little bit. They could still get to 60. They could be 4 games worse and still hit the over.
Yeah, I don't think they will coast.
Come on, man. I think the Celtics are going to be crazy good. What about the Thunder? 57.5.
I'm taking the...
This one's tough. This is a good number. I think they won 57 last year.
I'm going to leave it there. I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
But not by much. Like, I think they're going to win 55, 56. Mm-hmm. They could win 58. Like,
yeah, that's a good, 57.5 is a really good number.
Yeah, I am slightly, I know this sounds really weird. I'm slightly concerned. I think their team is built for winning in the playoffs without any question. When the game slows down, I think that like just the way that they've designed their team, it's built to win in the playoffs.
Okay.
But I'm slightly concerned that they just don't have the scoring to win. You know, if you're going to add Caruso to the mix, you're going to add Hartenstein, who's out for however long he's out for. But if you're going to add those guys to the mix, somebody else has to step up. And I know they have a couple of young players that can. But I'm not sure that you're going to get it. Like, you know, Jalen Williams can score more for sure, and Chet Holmgren can score more. But then, like, overall, you can't ask Shea to score more. Like, he averaged 31 a game last year, whatever it was. Like, it's very difficult to see somebody play, be able to go out there and score more. So I wouldn't be totally shocked if we see Chet take the jump to, like, between 18 and 20 points per game, and the same with Williams. But the rest of the guys are going to have to score, and those guys are going to have to hold up a whole lot of the scoring load for 82 games, and that's not easy.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of feel like 56, 55, 56 wins, like right around the same number, 57.
Yeah, 57 and a half is a really, really good number for them. I want to skip down to the Kings here. This is fun. So the number here at BetMGM is 46 and a half. And that's the juice on that is minus 110. So you'd have to bet $110 to win 100.
Okay.
On the Kings winning more than 46 and a half games. I feel good about that. Here's the fun one, though. On DraftKings, the number is 50 and a half at plus 265. So that's bet 100 to win 265.
Oh.
And you need the Kings to win 51 games.
Oof.
If you had $100 to bet, are you taking the 46 and a half at minus 110? Or are you taking the 50 and a half at plus 265? Whew.
Okay, so I am a gambling man.
I love this.
I'm taking the 51.
Come on. Come on. That's what I'm talking about.
But I think that's it. Like, I don't think, like,
if it was 51 and a half, you wouldn't take it?
No, I wouldn't. Like, 52 is a possibility for this team, but I also, like, I can see them finishing at 47, 48, but I'm not betting 100 win 100. I mean, 110 win 100. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, I'm rolling the dice on 51 at plus 265. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you're just looking to for, all right, I got two thoughts on this. One, 46 and a half feels low to me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they'd be 48 and a half ish.
Yeah.
But it scares me a little bit. Because books are sometimes several games off, right? Like, they're not perfect. They're very good, but they're not perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
The 46 and a half scares me a little bit. But it also might just be where the Kings are in the public eye, where if they put that number, maybe their realistic, their real number would be like 48 and a half, but they're afraid that too much money would come in on the under. Cause people are like, oh, the Kings at 48 and a half. No way. Too much money would come in on the under, where, like, if a couple of bad things happen, the book now has this huge liability against the Kings under.
I think last season they're 46 and a half coming into the season after winning 48 and they won 46. And I think so many people bet the over, and they're probably feeling the same way this season. That, like, Vegas is probably looking at this as one of those ones where a lot of people are going, oh, you know what? I'm going to bet the over because they're a team that's on the rise.
Yeah, we talked about this last year with the Kings, and it turned out to not be the case. But I'm really interested to see how they approach the regular season, because I thought last year there would be a, because they won so many, I don't want to say so many, they won several games in the 22-23 season where they just wanted it more. I know that's such a dumb sports cliche.
Yeah.
But, like, that Clippers game, the triple OT.
176-175.
Yeah, yeah, that insane game. The Clippers were up, what, like 10 with a couple minutes left?
Oh, yeah, they just kept coming back.
Right, and the Clippers are like, oh, this game's over, and the Kings are like, nope, we still got time. Here's a steal, here's a bucket, here's a steal, here's a three, here's a stop, here's a bucket, and oh my God, we're going to OT. So I thought they would do that again last year, and they just didn't. I could see that being the case this year where, man, you know what, hey, you hear Domas talk about here we go again when they thought they were going to miss out on Damar.
Yep.
And, oh, they got him. It's like, oh, like, now they're here. So there's, I want to believe that they're going to approach this regular season the way they did 22-23, where it's like, nope, trying to win every single game.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah, we're going to cruise here. Okay, it's Charlotte. We're going to take the night off. Oh, we're on the back of a back-to-back. We're taking the night off tonight. Oh, De'Aaron's out in Houston. We're, like that general malaise.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't, I'm going the 50 and a half at plus 265.
Yeah, I think
I like that number better.
I think I am too. And when I look at the team, I think Fox will be a very similar player to the player he was last year. I think that Keon Ellis will be a better version of himself. He'll be more consistent. I think Kevin Huerter will be a better player than he was last year once he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trey Lyles is about the same player. I think Malik Monk, it's going to be difficult as a sixth man to do more than like the 15 whatever points per game.
Yeah.
I think DeRozan's going to take a step back a little bit from his 24 points per game, but I still think he'll be around 20.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking at the team, I think a lot of it stays stagnant, but I think Ellis, mm-hmm. I think Keegan Murray can take another huge leap. And I actually think if Domantas Sabonis is a player that we've seen, that we saw in preseason, Domas will actually take a leap as well to where he may not put up way bigger statistical stat, you know, he might not take a statistical leap, but it's difficult to take a statistical leap when you're averaging, you know, 19.4, 13.7, mm-hmm. and 8.2. I just think he's going to be a better version of himself. And so I think if you look at those things, I think there's a, and DeMar DeRozan is a better player than what Harrison Barnes was at the end of his run.
Yeah.
But again, I think Trey Lyles will be about the same. I think you can get a little bit of bump out of Kevin Huerter over last season's stats. I think Jordan McLaughlin will be equal to or better than what they got out of Davion Mitchell.
Davion Mitchell too.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely think whoever's the backup shooting guard is going to give you more than what Duarte did last year.
Yeah, they're just a better roster.
Yeah.
They're just a better team.
No, I think so.
Yeah. I like the 50.5 at plus 265. I wouldn't like the 50.5 at minus 110. That's a little scary.
Yeah. No. But, I wouldn't take that.
Yeah. All right. One last thing on this, and then we're going to get into our NBA season predictions coming up here in a second, but I was reading this today. Bronny James is getting at FanDuel 20% of the money to win Rookie of the Year. And this is the case across like every sports book, is there's just all this money pouring in on Bronny James. He's anywhere from 250-1 to 1,000-1 to win Rookie of the Year. And there's just all this money coming in on him.
That's wild.
Feels like a waste of money to me.
Yeah, you're throwing it down the well.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
Books are going to be hoping big time that Bronny James plays 1 minute tonight and then checks out and doesn't check in for the rest of the year.
Hey, shout out. I have a friend who got the De'Aaron Fox MVP bet.
I like this.
And it was a nice number.
At what odds?
Let me see. Let's see. 80 pays 16,000.
Is that
plus 20,000?
20,000. As I say, 20,001. Dang. Yeah. Love that.
Why not?
I can paint the path. All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. Second hour coming up. We'll get into more NBA season predictions in the East and West. Playoff teams, play-in teams. Where do the Kings land? We'll have NBA awards. All of that coming up. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The voice guy is going to now tell you the same thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.